This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov, chodesh tov. So Howard, here's my question to you to start the morning.
Yes.
How much would you be willing to pay for a 750 square meter empty piece of land on the central part of the Tel Aviv beachfront? The question that I asked this morning. And if you say 150 million shekels, then you'll be right.
No.
Because that's exactly...
No. 750 square meters.
750 square meters for 150 million shekels. That was a piece of parking lot that was sold along the Tel Aviv beachfront, just south of the Dan Hotel, for those people who know the area. 750 square meters along Tel Aviv's Hayakon Street. It's been purchased by Israeli property developers. So 150 million shekels is about $40 million, a little bit more perhaps, $42 million. That's the sort of money that we're talking about. And apparently they have approval to build 20 apartments in buildings that are no higher than six floors in order not to block out the sea view of the apartments that are slightly further to the east. And the prices are just simply outrageous. Apparently, apartments in the area have been selling for between 80 and 140,000 shekels per square meter. Per square meter of apartment. That's what the cost of the apartments will ultimately probably be once they have been purchased. So if you have any dreams to live along the Tel Aviv beachfront, then that's the sort of money that you're going to need to be paying. You may as well start saving, right?
Anthony, what does this say about, what does this say to Israelis? Because I can't imagine that there are many Israelis who will ever be able to, and I guess you can't really use that as a measure because, well, you can talk about Camps Bay and Clifton where we're selling, you know, their properties there that are being sold for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 million rand. So, and of course that doesn't appeal to most South Africans either. So I guess every country does have their expensive areas, but this is an absurdity.
What it says to most Israelis, Howard, is that you will not be living along the Tel Aviv beachfront anytime soon.
Yeah. Very, very frightening.
I mean, it's obviously very, very prime property. Like you have prime property in most countries, in all countries, which are out of the reach of most people. They're only within reach of a very, very select few. I think the slight difference in Israel, however, is that it's not even within the reach of people coming from outside of Israel, because expensive properties in South Africa very frequently are bought by foreigners because of the exchange rate differential. People come from abroad, don't have to be mega, mega wealthy and can still afford it. But that's not the case when you come to Israel. If you are not mega, mega, mega wealthy abroad, you definitely won't be able to be affording these properties because, of course, the shekel is extremely strong as well. So, I mean, these prices are going to be way in the tens of millions of dollars for each apartment. And, we'll see how it goes. It's going to take a few years, obviously, to construct these apartments, but I have little doubt that there will be buyers.
Incredible. In fact, I have no doubt, nor do they have a doubt. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid 150 million shekels for 750 square meters.
Absolutely.
Incredible. The IDF was in action overnight in Nablus to destroy a lion's den bomb-making lab. A number of operatives were killed. Give us some information around this incident.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we hadn't heard about lion's den. And now they're in the news almost every day. And this time around, I think this is just a really a continuation from what I was saying yesterday, which is that the Israeli government is quite intent on putting an end to this almost as quickly as it's raised its head. And once again, we've seen the IDF in operation last night in Nablus, apparently attacking that bomb-making lab, which was being used by Lion's Den. In the process, in the bomb-making lab, there seems to have been explosives stored there or being used there or whatever was happening, but there seem to have been some secondary explosions as a result of the attack by the IDF troops. And in the process, we understand that four operatives have been killed during that exercise. Now, when I said yesterday that the Israeli government wanted to try and take Lion's Den out without having any consequential issues to have to deal with, consequential damages, which might ripple through the rest of Palestinian society, last night's operation did definitely not fulfill that particular requirement, because the ripples are being felt everywhere. Not ripples, they are waves being felt everywhere, because one of the things about Lion's Den is that the operatives who formed this group in Nablus, Lion's Den, are also affiliated to other organizations. So Palestinian Islamic Jihad have come out making a statement and are also declaring that they will revenge this particular event last night, the blowing up of the lab and the people who have been killed. There are other Palestinian groups as well who have laid claim to those people, to those martyrs who have been killed in the process, and have avenged their deaths and have promised that they will avenge their deaths rather than avenge them, and will have promised that they will do so. So this is really having a ripple effect with great consequences throughout Palestinian society. And as I said yesterday, that ripple goes through the Palestinian Authority as well, because a lot of these people have strong affiliations with either the security establishment or the political establishment within the Palestinian Authority. And so this is certainly going to have a significant effect. But and I'm guessing that the IDF would have weighed that up before going in to destroy this lab. But it was decided that this is the way that the IDF are going to deal with things. They're going to try and nip this issue in the bud as quickly as they possibly can. And what we're seeing now is a very, very substantial operation in order to try and take the legs out from under Lion's Den. I'm guessing that the new organization that I discussed yesterday, in Tulkarm, the Eagle's Nest, may well have similar consequences. But clearly, as we move ahead, the IDF is very intent upon making sure that this does not become a more substantial problem than it already is.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so bizarre, as you said, that until a short while ago, we had never even heard of them. And now they seem to be the in-group, the in-terrorist group. Well, hopefully they're out now. But I guess we'll have to just keep an eye on the story.
I have little doubt that we're still going to be hearing a lot more about them and about people affiliated to them. And, of course, they are becoming the heroes of the moment. And in this society in which you operate, particularly within Palestinian society, heroism and martyrdom is a big thing.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you make heroes and martyrs out of people, you consign yourself to having to relive it, because this is not going to go away now.
Unfortunately not. With only a week to go until the general election, the splits in the right-wing Netanyahu camp have been exposed. What's been revealed?
So there have been a series of videos that have been exposed just now in the week before the election, some of them shown even on TV. And it's not clear exactly what the source of these videos is, but it's clear that whoever is releasing these videos into the public domain is someone who's trying to cause a split within the right-wing camp. So it clearly wouldn't be any of the members of the right-wing camp themselves, but rather some of the enemies, some people who are trying to result in a weakening of Netanyahu and a weakening of the camp that he's trying to put together in order to win the election. The videos that have come out revolve around the two religious Zionist leaders in their far right group, in the form of Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir. The one video that was released shows a Smotrich calling Netanyahu a liar and a son of a liar, in order to just try to reinforce how much he thinks he's a liar. And because of the fact
Not only are you a liar, but your father was a liar also.
Exactly, right, exactly, right. Exactly. A liar and a son of a liar, gotcha. Which in Hebrew comes out with a lot of emotion.
Yes, it
was really all about the fact that Netanyahu was, according to what Smotrich was saying, negotiating with the Ra'am Arab Party to join a right-wing coalition, even though at the same time he was publicly saying he would never have Ra'am in his coalition. And of course, for Smotrich, the idea of joining a coalition with an Arab party in the coalition is anathema, something that he would never consider, would never agree to. And so for Smotrich, this was like crossing a red line by saying, on the one hand, that he won't negotiate with Ra'am to join the coalition, and yet apparently he had already approached them and was talking to them about the possibility of doing so. So Smotrich has come out obviously regretting that this has been exposed, and he said this was an old conversation, this was an old video, things right. have moved on since then, this is really of no significance, because he understands that if he has to acknowledge that this was his view and this is how strongly he felt about Netanyahu at the time, it seems unlikely that people would see him forming a coalition with Netanyahu, or at least support the idea of him forming a coalition with Netanyahu, given the fact that there seems to be bad blood and lack of coordination between themselves. But it doesn't end there. It goes further with Itamar Ben-Gvir accusing Netanyahu. Again, all of these videos are really leveled against Netanyahu, and this time it's Itamar Ben-Gvir who said that Netanyahu has used the religious Zionist parties for his own purposes, and then he has stabbed them in the back. He has thrown them aside. And apparently this revolves around an incident over Sukkot when Netanyahu was in Kfar Chabad with the Haredi community, with the Orthodox community, and he decided that he would not be seen on the stage at Kfar Chabad with any of the members of the religious Zionist community, because obviously there is something of a rift between the ultra-Orthodox movement and the religious Zionist community, and he decided that he didn't want to be, not only not to be photographed right. with Itamar Ben-Gvir on the stage, but that he wouldn't even appear with him on the stage, and so Ben-Gvir felt a little used and claimed that he'd been stabbed in the back. So this really does show that within the right-wing grouping, there are certainly disagreements. There are certainly splits. It's not going to be plain sailing. And the truth of the matter is that right now, as things stand with 1 week to go before the election, there is still no indication that a government can be formed. At the moment, we're still seeing the opinion polls giving us approximately 60 seats to the Netanyahu camp, which is still one short of the required majority of 61. But, of course, anything can change between now and next week.
Is there a sense that this election is just going to be the warm-up to the next election?
The honest truth is that there seems to be so little interest in this election right now. You definitely don't get the feeling that we're heading towards a big event and towards a general election, which is usually, you right. know, during yes. the election period, there's some sort of atmosphere, there's some sort of energy about thinking about things, about what may be at the election. There is seems to be so little interest about the election at the moment. I mean, we see the posters everywhere, but so little interest. And, of course, all of this muddying the waters and mudslinging and all the backwards and forwards certainly doesn't help their cause in the least. There just seems to be, I think people are resigned to the fact that this is going to be the first of a number of rounds, but it just feels like people are not that interested, yeah. unfortunately.
Yeah, which is really quite sad, because it just means
Agreed.
That they aren't inspired either. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to hear from you about the trial of former Prime Minister Netanyahu resuming yesterday.
So it's resumed after the holiday period. The courts were off over the High Holy Days, so it's been a month or two since the court last sat. They are currently hearing testimony on the case, the so-called case 1000, which is the case of illegal gifts, charges of illegal gifts having been given to the former prime minister when he was prime minister, particularly by the tycoon Arnon Milchin, and also by James Packer, apparently, whose names have been mentioned in the trial. But some of the details that have been disclosed about the gifts that were given are just amazing. Apparently, it is claimed in the case, and obviously we don't know whether this is true or not, but this is just evidence that has been presented in the case, that something like $75,000 worth of cigars were delivered to the former Prime Minister by Arnon Milchin. That's something like $52,000 worth of champagne was delivered to the former Prime Minister. And apparently gifts were given, gifts of jewelry were given to his wife. One value was put at something like $45,000 for a gift of jewelry given to Sarah Netanyahu. And apparently even James Packer is associated with gifts of something like $65,000. So these are cigars apparently that cost $112 for each cigar. But, you know, we'll hear more in the case, and obviously there's still a long way to go yet.
Right. Absolutely. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Just a couple of messages. Karen M. says, do you have a cold? No, Karen M., I do not have a cold. I have man flu, and it is particularly serious. Unassigned says, I don't think you've got real man flu. I think you've got pseudo man flu because you're still on form today. Well, I'm not so sure about that. It is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.